bless his name. Well, glory. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 9 tonight. We started this last week. Isaiah is given an amazing glimpse at Jesus. He is given this glimpse. Through Isaiah, you get a very vivid description of who he is. We talked a bit about this last week. You were given descriptions, vivid, of the physicalness of who Jesus is. We learn through Isaiah that he's going to come as a child. We learn that. That's the verse we're at. Later on, I think it's in Isaiah 53, he talks to his physical looks and that he wasn't a handsome man. He had no form or comeliness. There was nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. And contrary to some of the artists and the paintings that they make of him, he really was just a common, ordinary. If he were here, you probably wouldn't look twice at him. He was just, not physically or anything like that. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And so through Isaiah, you get a really great picture, a vivid picture of who he was. So really, Israel had no excuse not to recognize him when they come, when he got there. And yet in John's Gospel, chapter 1, it says he came into his own and his own didn't receive him. That he was born that night. And just imagine the one that they've waited for centuries, that they longed for and believed for and set an empty table at their dinner tables in expectation of him, was born, God himself, right in the midst of their town, and they didn't even know it. It's kind of like a sad picture of the time in which Jesus was born, of the condition of society, so wrapped up in the things and so oppressed by all the stuff that was going on around them that they didn't even know their Messiah. And I think it's a real, and yet it was, the Bible says, in the fullness of time had come, God sent forth a son. It was just in that moment and that reason Jesus came. It kind of gives me a reflection of what our society is like today. So caught up, people are so caught up in life and in the fears and the troubles and the stirrings of the times and all of that, that they don't even know that there's a God who loves them. And yet it's because of that time that I feel that Jesus is about to break in upon his church and outpour, because that's what he is for. He said, I don't come. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. And Jesus breaks in and comes at a time. The Bible says there's a verse that we always look to that talks about his coming and things. And I always look at it as that, and that is true. That's what it's for. But I always look at it in other ways. It says in a moment when they think not, the Son of Man comes. I believe it's the same way here. In a moment when people think not, when they don't know him and think not, that's when he shows up. That's when he comes. And I believe that that's what revival is all about. And so Isaiah gives us a vivid picture, and we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 9. I said chapter 6, I'm sorry, but it's chapter 9, verse 6. And this is the verse we're dealing with, because there's a number of names in here. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We're dealing tonight with Mighty God. That's what we're going to deal with. We looked at Mighty Counselor last week. We looked at who he was as the counselor. We talked about that. I don't need to recap, but that's what we dealt with. That's who he is. He is your counselor. A wonderful, miracle-working advocate. That's really what it is. He's a wonderful counselor. Tonight, we're going to look at that he is a mighty God. Now, you have to understand that Isaiah is writing concerning a child. This is something you've got to understand. He's not talking about the pre-eternal Jesus who was there before time began. He's not talking about that Jesus that was surrounded and encompassed by angels and the host of heaven before creation began, who was God, the triune God. He's not talking about that Jesus. He's talking about the baby. He's talking about the human Jesus. That's very important. He's talking about, and I jotted down a few things. He's talking about the earthly Jesus who came, the creator, the God of heaven and earth, who came in the form of a woman's, a young girl's womb, who was framed and formed. That's the Jesus he's talking about here. It's important you've got to understand that. That's what he's dealing with here. He's talking about the one who was pushed through the birth canal after hours of labor. We're talking about that Jesus who was born in a stable where animals are kept and things like that. We're talking about this Jesus who was born just like us, who had to be nursed, who left heaven, and who had a God who had no need and came down to us who we are today and put himself in a place of need, who needed to be nursed, who needed to be fed. And we're talking about, that's the Jesus he's talking about, this one. He was talking about the Jesus who cried when he got hurt and was tired sometimes and had to take naps. That's the Jesus who needed his diaper changed. It's difficult for us to picture this Messiah, this Almighty God, but that's who he is. That's what he was when he came here. It's difficult, but that's the Jesus he's talking about. The Jesus who grew weary and hungry and needed to sleep from time to time, who took first steps from the arms of Mary over to his father, Joseph. Well, that's Jesus, that who needed help tying his sandals and learning how to do all that and dress. That's the Jesus he's talking about. Everybody understand that? You've got to get that because I think that we're affected sometimes by people's imagination of Jesus, that we forget that he was human. He was God, but he was human. We forget that. We forget that he went through the same things that you and I have gone through and are going through. He went through it. So we've got to understand that although he was God, he was still human. So it's this human, earthly Jesus that had morning breath and messy hair when he woke up in the morning and calluses on his hands and dirt between his toes. That Jesus he's talking about. That's important. And it's that Jesus he calls Mighty God. It's almost like a contradiction. He's looking at this Jesus who grew weary and tired and hungry and walked around and was a baby. I pictured tonight as we were worshiping, and I was also thinking about the message and praying God and hearing little Jasper, you know, playing around and rambunctious, and Jesus was no different. I'm sure during synagogue times and stuff, Mary or Joseph had to run after Jesus, who was battering around and taking off. I'm sure he was climbing over stuff. That's the Jesus he's talking about. No different. I mean, let's put away this idea that he was the perfect child. I mean, he was perfect, sinless. But let's put away that he never cried. Right? He never fussed. Let's put that, he was a baby. Okay, he was a baby. He broke his first, he cried when he broke through his first teeth. Teethed at night and drooled. And come on, that's the Jesus that he's talking about here. Unto us, a child is born. So this is the one now. Can you imagine if I stood up here right now and I said, see Jasper? He's a wonderful counselor. He's mighty God. Maybe he thinks he is. No, but do you know what I mean? Can you imagine? Can you imagine when they brought him into the tabernacle to be circumcised and aged old Simeon, that prophet who said he wouldn't see death until he saw the deliverance, and he was well up in his, I mean, so, and when he sees him, I mean, just, Now I can die. I've seen God. Can you imagine? I mean, that's who he's talking about here. And he calls him Mighty God. Mighty God. We're going to break that down because I want us to understand that term tonight. And we're not going to be too long here tonight, but it's important that we understand what Isaiah is saying about him. He is Mighty God. Two words he uses. So let's look at that word mighty first of all. Because here it's an, I think I'm going to pronounce it right in the Hebrew. The word mighty here in the Hebrew is a gibor. That's it. That's what he says, gibor. The word God is El in the Hebrew language. So in that language, he would have written and said, he is Gibor El, Mighty God. Now, the word mighty here, let me explain it and give you the meaning of it. It means here to be a warrior, a champion, or valiant. It's a word that means that is given to somebody when they have come through some type of a victory, a warrior or a soldier who has proven himself in battle, and it's given to him. It's not just given to anybody. So it is a name that's given to a person when they have done some huge big battle or won some great thing or fought some great battle and have become victorious, and he would have been called Gabor, mighty. Or you hear it in other times, back in Genesis, you will hear it, man of valor. This was spoken of Gideon, remember? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior or mighty man of valor. It's the same idea, that man of valor. It's given to someone who has accomplished something great. And so when I read that, I had to stop for a minute and I thought, now he's talking about a baby here. He's talking about the baby child that was born. What in the world possibly could he have accomplished or could he have had victory over as a child? What in the world could have earned him the right? Because it was a name that was usually given to someone who earned it or had done some great feat or had proven himself in a battle or in something, and he would be called mighty. So I thought, looking at a baby, what in the world would this child have done to have been given the name Mighty? That threw me for a loop. Honestly, that threw me for a bit. I had to stop and I think, well, what was it that caused him to be born with the title already Mighty God? Now remember, this is not, Isaiah is not talking about this pre-eternal God. He's talking about this child. What in the world could he have talked about that would have given him the title? So I began to pray over this like I always do whenever I'm stumped, usually not only when I'm stumped, but all the time. And just, Lord, just show me some stuff. Like, what is it that would have earned, Lord, what was it that would have earned you as a baby born in a manger, the title by this prophet, Mighty God? What was it? What was it that would have given him that name, Mighty? And as I sat there and just prayed and looked, I think the Lord started to reveal some stuff by the Holy Spirit in me. I began to think about some of the things that God had done to bring about this birth. The impossible things that God dealt with and done to bring about times when the lineage had almost disappeared, and yet God moved in such a miraculous way so that this lineage could continue in the face of all sometimes impossibilities, and yet brought about the birth of this child. And I began to realize that it was this that he had done to bring himself into this world that caused him to be mighty. It was the things that he had conquered and things that he had overthrown. And I began to look at this. The first thing that popped in my mind, and we dealt with a little bit this morning, was it all started through the womb of a barren woman named Sarah. That's really the first of it that you see. The first real inkling of a promised Israel seed, given to a man who had a barren wife. Impossibilities. I mean, it's one thing to look at a young, vibrant woman who's got it all, but to go to a woman and then to wait till she's in her hundreds, both of them, and give them a child. It's amazing. And then give this child, who the seed was to continue on, a wife who also was barren. And still, out of that barrenness, brought twins. Come on. Multiplied. Oh, come on, somebody. You think that it's impossible, your situation? God can multiply out of that impossible situation. And even in that thing, that Jacob guy looked like his life was being threatened and all of this, and God moved in such a way that preserved and kept him. I mean, amazing, absolutely amazing things. Not to mention by the time Moses shows up that Israel is under such bondage and slavery, and now all the male children are being killed in the Nile, thrown in the river, drowned. Horrible, absolutely horrible situation. And yet through miracle after miracle, this Lord, who is now in human form, had moved in such a way that changed the heart of this old Pharaoh, delivered them out, walked them through the Red Sea, got them through. Do you understand what he did to bring himself into this world? He's mighty. Not to mention how oftentimes the lineage and the thing had been threatened to be annihilated under the story of Esther. Look at what happened for just a remnant of a few that were left through which all of this happened. And now God stepped in and it seemed like this Israel remnant was going to be wiped out and killed. And God turned the whole situations, and the person who was attacking Israel turned around and got it through his own means. It's amazing how he preserved this woman's identity so that she wouldn't be found out. And yet, when she should have been thrown out and she should have been cast aside and killed because of what she did walking into the king's presence, yet God preserved and kept her so that he himself could come. No wonder he's mighty. All that he did to bring himself into this world. He began to show me all of this through Ruth. Look at what he did through Ruth and all of that where it just seemed impossible. She married the son of Naomi and all of this. And here, the men, they all died. I mean, what are the chances of that happening? And there's no more. And she decides she's going to stay. And her God, Naomi, your God will be my God. And God and changes. And it seems like all hope for her to continue a lineage is gone. And then suddenly here comes a kinsman redeemer. Oh, God. And saves the whole situation. And the lineage keeps going. What God did so that he could come into this world himself. No wonder God is mighty. No wonder Isaiah looked at this child and said, he's mighty God. Look at what he did to bring himself into this world. Look at what he did. From the moment he spoke, let there be, right to the moment his first cries in that manger, look at what he did so that he could come into this world. No wonder. When Isaiah is given a vision of him, baby or not, he's mighty because of what he did. And then not to mention how the very thought this baby Jesus was even threatened when he was born. I mean, really, look at what he did. Herod, out for blood to try to kill the children and kill this child and all this, and how God protected and kept through dreams and through stuff, and how God kept him all down through his. I mean, no wonder Isaiah looks, given a glimpse into the future, and maybe in my mind, I think Isaiah saw the baby in manger. I don't know. I have no idea. But somehow he gets a vision that it's going to be a child, and he speaks. No wonder he calls this child Mighty God. Look at what he did. To bring himself into this world. Look at what he did. Now let's stop for a minute. I had to stop right there, and I'm going to do the very thing that I felt challenged to do. Stop for just a minute. We heard a bit of testimonies already. And think what God has done to bring you to this moment. Just look back. Not only for this year, but your life, and see all the things that God did to bring you out of a sin-cursed world and give you a home in heaven, what he has done to bring you to this moment. Just stop for a minute. We don't need to take long, but just think of what he has done. I looked back over my life and saw God. My life should have and could have went this way. But Lord, you've changed situations and you altered things and moved things and spoke and did so much stuff and brought me to this place. I mean, it amazes me still to this day how a high school dropout out of Great Ten still was able to get into university, into college without a high school diploma. I don't get it. Actually, I do get it. You know why? Because he's mighty God. How he took me from one side of the country and my wife on this side of the country, and somehow in his divine wondrous love got us. You know why? Because he's a mighty God. I don't get it. I had all my own plans, what I wanted to do with my life. My own agenda, my own will. I was going to do it this way. I was going to minister this way. And I was going to do this and have all of this. And the last thing I ever thought is I would be a pastor. And now, to be honest with you right now, I can't imagine doing anything else. You know why? Because he's a mighty God. Want to know, Kelsey, why you got that position? Because he's a mighty God. That's why. You want to know why your grandson's doing well? He's a mighty God. That's why. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? I mean, there are things I should have taken. Yesterday, I was talking about telling some people about this when we were setting up at the gym, and just before it happened, we were starting the banquet. It was dark, and the fog was thick like soup, and I had to come back to the house for something. So I hopped in the van and I pulled out and I was heading, and I was and because I for time and everything, and I was getting a little stressed, I was going a little faster than I should have been, and the fog, and I'm trying to see, and way ahead of me there was a turn, and I could see the lights of a car. You know, you can't see the car, but you can see the lights. And I saw the silhouette of something, and as I got close enough to it, here was this huge, big deer, full antler, right in the middle of the road. And if I had not seen that light, if that light wasn't there, and I didn't see the silhouette, I could have just plowed right into it and not even known it. And then when I locked up and stopped, there was another one right here ready to cross. Big ones. I've seen God do that so many times. When we had my a truck that I had a few years ago, not the one I got now, but another one, I left here one night, and again, a dark, dark night, and I had only one headlight, and I headed down here, heading home, and again, you know, my wife will tell you, my foot gets a little heavy sometimes, right? And I'm heading up here, and all of a sudden, when I got past, just close to the railroad track here, my truck just died. The engine, lights and everything were on. The engine just boom. I'm going, what in the world? And I had to pull her over to the side of the road. And I'm going, I don't get this. And I tried, not even a click. I go, what's going on? All the lights are on. And I looked up ahead, and just up at the top of this little hill of the turn was two deer standing right in the middle of the... I think that if I had kept going with my lights dim, again, I would have right into them. And I think God just kind of cut the engine, dude. You're going too fast. I'm not kidding you. And then they were just standing there. And then they just kind of started to walk. And as soon as they stepped off the edge of the pavement, engine fired up again. You want to know why? I'll tell people that, and you know what they'll say? Wow, weren't you lucky? No, he's a mighty God. That's why, right? How many near misses have we had? He's talking about this Jesus. Now, if he did all that to bring himself into this world, don't you think he has power and authority over this world? How often do we get all worked up and stressed because of the stuff we see on TV and the news and oh, this is out of whack. Don't stress, the Bible says. Don't fret over evildoers and evil stuff like that. No, he's a mighty God. You got to trust him. So he's mighty. He's valiant. He has earned that title, mighty, valor, champion. He's earned it. As a child, he had the name because of what he did to bring himself into this world. Any thoughts, questions, comments, anything? All right, you sure? Everybody's good? All right. Yeah. That's okay. Oh, good, good. Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. We'll pray. After we're done, we'll pray. Keep praying for your dad. Yeah, that God's going to do something. Yes. Okay, do that again really loud. Listen to that, because that's bang on to what we're talking about. Read that again.
Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, invincible in battle.
Right? Am I right? Isn't that right? That's who he is. The Lord, invincible in battle. Mighty God, he's mighty. He earned that title long before. So this is why it's important when you read that verse, you've got to see the baby, the child in Bethlehem. You've got to see that. You can't see what people thought he was like or their impressions. You've got to see the human, and yet he was mighty. He was absolutely mighty. And then it says he was mighty God. That word God is El. Literally, that means the word God. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, I wonder what the word God means? Do you ever wonder? In the Hebrew language, it was El. Yahweh is Lord, but God is El. Anybody ever wonder? You see it in Hebrew words like El Shaddai and El Roi, God. Anybody ever wonder what El means? We touched on it a little bit before, but I'm going to give you the meaning of the word God to Israel. The word God literally means strength or power. So Isaiah looks at this baby in Bethlehem and calls him Mighty power, mighty strength. That's literally when we say, "Oh God," you are calling him strength and power. Almighty, we looked at that a while ago. Almighty means sufficient, enough in power. Means that he is strong, or in other words, he's strong enough. He's strong enough to take care of my issues. He's strong enough to deal with this. He is enough. He is enough. But the word God, all standing by himself, that word God means strength. We know that God is love. We know that God is life. Now we know that he is strength, power. That's who he is. And so I struggled at that one. Because here's what I did. I went right to the Bible Encyclopedia. I thought, I need to really break this down. I really need to find out this. I couldn't believe how much page after page after page after page after page, and the pre-God and pre-existent and the eternal. And it went all through all of this stuff. And it was in language that was so high, it just confused me. Like, I'm not saying it was wrong or bad, but it was just so intellectual. It just went right over. I couldn't even pronounce half the stuff they were talking about, and it was just getting mind-numbing. I'm sure it was right. It was good, but it was being dumb. I couldn't get it. I said, Lord, there's no way in the last few minutes that I'm going to be able to dump all that out. There's no way. I can't even figure it out. So I said, you've got to dumb down it for me. You've got to dumb it down now for me. You've got to give me like a Reader's Digest version, just a nutshell it to the point where I can just, about you being strength. You got to do that. What does that mean? And suddenly two sections of scripture, we've dealt with lots, popped in my head. And if you want to turn there, you can. The first, obviously, of course, is right back in Genesis chapter 1. That's our first, the very first name we are given is God. In the beginning, God. And the first picture of this strength and this power, and I say this often, I've said this often, and I pray that one of these days I'll be able to say it in such a way that it'll put a quiver right down and put a shout and you'll hang from the lights. You're so excited about it. It literally, when he showed me this, it tells me that his strength is shown in his ability to create. Now, don't think, you hear people, especially artists, saying, oh, look at what I've created. You didn't create that. Because the word literally to create means is to take nothing and make something appear. You've taken pre-existing stuff, slapped it together. Oh, look what I created. No, you didn't create. I have a hard time. That's just me, okay? It's my own little peeve. But his ability to take absolutely nothing and with just a word make something appear. Now, if that's not strength, that's why he can take what seems to be for you nothing, impossibility, and with just a word change the whole thing around. Isn't that amazing? That's strength. Just by speaking out of him, he needed to turn to nothing. He didn't need anything to do something with. See, it's one thing to see that he already had something that was pre-existing, something there, and he did something with it. But to take, I mean, we get to that picture when he makes Adam and Eve. I mean, he took mud and clay and all that. We get that. Understand that. But go back to when there was nothing. And with just the raw word, nothing became something. That's strength. And it's that right there that gives us the faith to know that the impossible situations that we look at and that oftentimes we get worked up over, God sees as an opportunity to show his strength. Now that's God, that's El, that is strength. That's how what he can do. It was such a, his strength is such powerful that even before Satan slithered into the garden that day, God already had the solution. Because the prophecy that he spoke, he was the first one to prophesy, God was. He was the first one. He spoke to them, and that word was spoken to Satan, and he says that there's going to come a seed of the woman, and he's going to crush her, talking about this Messiah. God was the first one to prophesy about what he was going to do. Before there was ever a prophet walking in sandals, God was the first one to speak a prophetic word. That's power. That's strength. Not to mention all the stuff that he did, parting waters and making donkeys talk. Look at what he did. I mean, that's strength right there. That's strength. Elisha, sitting in the tent one day, and the Assyrian army surrounded him because the king of Syria was told that Elijah is saying things that knows things that you just talk about in the privacy of your chambers. So they sent an army after him, and they surround him. And his servant runs in and, oh, man of God, they're with us. They're coming against us. What are we going to do? And Elijah's just sitting back as calm as can be. He says, relax. There are more for us than against us. He says, go out and look again. And when he looked up, he says, surrounding the Syrians all around the hills was God's army of angelic hosts, countless, all around. Talk about strength. He is mighty in power, valiant in power. That's who he is. And then the second part I looked at then was he took me then to John chapter 1. In the beginning, again, was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Let me explain what that's saying here. In the beginning was, he was, that's it, word. And when it says the word was with God, it means that the word was in unison. It did nothing apart from God. And that's why you can trust this, because God does nothing apart from what this word is. Because it is God. That's who he is. He was God. Jesus was God. And this word became flesh and dwelt among us. Came through 42 generations and came into the manger that day. He was the word of God, the spoken. He was that word, that word, if I can put it that way, in the language is logos. Logos means intelligent language. He was, Jesus came here and he made clear who God was, because he was God. He clearly articulated God's plan, God's love, showed that God loved, God came down to this world and then died on Calvary, rose again the third day, and now here with us. That's strength. That's our God. He is mighty God. So when you read that word, you got to understand all that he did to come into this world. And then you got to look back in your life and realize all that he did is to bring you here. The doors that he opened that the Bible says that no man can shut. And the doors that he shut that no one can open. I thank God for the shut doors too. I thank God for the things that I should have gone after, I wanted to go after, but he closed it off. He's mighty God. He's earned the title for mighty God. Any questions before we finish? Pray, and then we have some fellowship. Thoughts, questions, comments, anything? All right. God is mighty. We're going to pray for your dad now. And as we move into our Christmas season now and get closer to the new year, we can have trust and faith that God is mighty and he's going to take us through. If he's taken us through this past year, he'll take us through this one. And could it be that this could be the year that Jesus comes? Father, we want to thank you and praise you tonight for being mighty, being our mighty God, that nothing's impossible for you. You already won. You already did that. You were mighty in battle. You were valiant. All that you did to bring us here, all that you did to come into this world. And Lord, all that you did to give us access into your presence to present our request to you. That day when you died, the veil was torn so that we can come into your presence. And right now, Lord, we come into your presence on behalf right now, Father, of Marion's dad. I want to first thank you for what you've done up to this point, for the report we've heard. Thank you, Lord. And we're asking now for a complete work. Continue, Lord, to move and be mighty. Open doors that seem impossible to open, I pray, God. And Lord, that when he comes out of this, that he will be a walking, living testimony to the power of a mighty God. That's our prayer, Lord. Others we're praying for here in this church too, Lord. We're believing for mighty things, I pray, God, so that it would all be for your glory. And we give you thanks. Bless our fellowship tonight now, Lord, and we give you glory. Thank you for the refreshments, those that prepared it and brought it. We give you all the praise and give you glory now in Jesus' name. Amen.